Welcome to a study on YahvehYahweh.name. I'm Stefan Yah. Today we're going to be in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah, or Jeremiah, chapter 2:13. For my people have committed two evils. They have forgotten me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Who are my people here? Not only the children of Israel, but you, all of you, and the so-called churches out there. Then in chapter 4, Jeremiah 4, verse 6. Set up the standard toward Zion. Retire, stay not. For I will bring evil from the north and great destruction. Verse 14. 4:14. O Jerusalem, wash thine heart from wickedness, that thou mayest be saved. How long shall the vain thoughts lodge within thee? And then verse 18. Thy way and thy doings have procured these things unto thee. This is thy wickedness, because it is bitter, because it reach unto thy heart. It's a matter of heart, back in the Old Testament, in Jeremiah. In verse 21 and 22, how long shall I see the standard and hear the sound of the trumpet? For my people are foolish. They have not known me. They are sottish children, or they are rebellious children, and they have none understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge. You talk about being foolish, about blowing the trumpet amongst the foolish, when what is their concern about this? Are they concerned at all that Yahweh's standards be proclaimed? A famous eloquent orator of Multnomah Bible College in Portland, and of Moody Broadcasting and Back to the Bible Broadcast, was against anybody having to stick to any standard, to a book of rules, for fear of creating, quote, cookie-cutter Christians. So that, you know, in that scenario, if we only go by our conscience, as Walt Disney taught us to always let your conscience be your guide, and think only from our heart, we come up with our own varying standards. Our heart cannot be trusted. It is desperately wicked. Who can know it? Jeremiah 17. And trusting in our heart could lead to greatness, but on the other hand, it could lead to another Third Reich, you know, the Third Reich in Germany. Some think that murdering Jews or the unborn is not a sin, or that any sexual behavior is to be taught. These days, even in Sabbath churches, it's possible that it is taught that the abominations of two men or two women sleeping together, that's now acceptable because of modern conception, contraceptive devices. There we go. I think I got the thought out there anyway. Stumbling over my eye tooth. Two people think it's all right to fight it out and kill each other. Or two think, because they feel affection in their self, that any sexual contact is allowed in Yahweh's eyes, that he's not allowed in their bedroom. But if we disregard the rules of the scripture, and I don't know if that's what logical conclusion that you believe and come up with by being self-governed, then we wind up in deep doo-doo sooner or later. Usually it's later that judgment is not coming quickly. And I'm so concerned about this spiritual self doctrine and the doctrine of relationship only, but no rules at all, no standards, that when the day of the re-inauguration of Hillary Clinton to the presidency, it will install the new world order that has been prepared all these years for us, for the rebellious. We may be thrown into concentration camps. The final outcome, of course, for the saved will be good. That's the final outcome. Coming out of the second tunnel, we see the light. Or maybe that's the third tunnel. We're close to the last day on earth, I suppose. We're coming to the end of the 6,000 years of the reign of man as we know it. However, I don't really want to be the one to to actually see it at this time. I don't really have the faith to think that I could endure that. Of course we will. But I don't want to rush into it and encourage others to go out and push the panic button. I pray for people that they'll repent of being un-Yahweh likeness and not being like Yahweh, and becoming that we become saved by the blood of Messiah. Let our conduct be according to the Scriptures, as interpreted by the Scriptures. They stand on their own. We don't need these eloquent orators standing on the radio and television pulpits dictating, or the Barackos, the presidents of the United States, or those long-haired, freaky people of Berkeley, California back in the 60s, or anything else, dictating what we will need to do, what we will believe, what property we are allowed to have, or whether we are allowed to live. Oh yes, if I'm falsely predicting the next few years as a time of fear, then praise Yahweh if I'm falsely predicting that, but you can mark my words and prepare it for the end times, if you wish, for the eventual Holocaust. No civilization can survive any moral incorruption. History teaches us that, and man never learns from history, but we see from history that moral incorruption and sexual incorruption causes the breakdown of society, and sooner or later it's no longer exists. It self-destructs. America, along with her daughters, is ready for the discipline. And Jeremiah, beginning with chapter 5, in selected passages, we'll be going through chapter 5, 6, all the way into chapter 8 today, a little bit from some of the other scriptures from the other books. Run you to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and see now and know, and seek in the broad places thereof, if you can find a man, if there be any that executes judgment, that seeks the truth, and I will pardon it. And though they say, Yahweh lives, surely they swear falsely. O Yahweh, art not thine eyes upon the truth? Thou hast stricken them, but they have not grieved. Thou hast consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock. They have refused to return. How is this possible? Well, here's one man who believes a certain way, that the law was done away with. And are all religions bad, by the way? Are they all totally bad? I mean, someone said that there's good in every religion. Well, we have a case of mixed religions these days. It seems the social thing to do. It's marvelous to be worshiping alongside people from all over the world, from all different religions, doesn't it? Well, that's man's way. That's the flesh. That's what I think would be wonderful, for all of us to just get together, brushing elbows with the Mormons and the Catholics, and in the same building, slapping each other on the back and so on. Seems to bring back that warm feeling, like we're all celebrating the winter solstice. But if you were once in that Roman Catholic Church and you saw the light, though, you read the Scripture, then I suppose we might assume that if all men of various mixed religions merge, that no one will desire to make war and take over the world. Well, Yahweh promises in Ezekiel, he promises to bring war to us if we fail to demonstrate to our faithfulness to him, that our hearts and our love for him is fervent and strong. War will eventually come. I'm not trying to scare anybody here. We're going to go to Jeremiah in a minute. But we fail to realize that war is invented by women and men who wrongly desire great power, but it's also a reward from Yahweh for those of us who fail as a society to repent, to have a figurehead in our nation who has no concern for Yahweh's way of life, for Yahweh's culture, to hang on to that standard, to the Torah, the Ten Commandments, and the Sermon on the Mount, and so on, and the Book of the Revelation. Hang on to the admonitions of Shaul, or the Apostle Paul, who tells us to abstain from fornication. Here's a prayer that, you know, there's such an acceptance of Catholic doctrine these days by Protestants. Listen to this prayer. Hail, Holy Queen. So this is talking about their Mary goddess. Hail, Holy Queen, Mother of Mercy. And we can see Jeremiah 7 here regarding that, the making cakes to the Queen of Heaven. So I'm still waiting to start there at Jeremiah 5. I haven't forgotten that, but it says in Jeremiah 7, the children gather wood, and the fathers kindle the fire, and the women knead their dough to make cakes to the Queen of Heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto other Elohim, that they may provoke me to anger. Do they provoke me to anger, saith Yahweh? Do they not provoke themselves to the confusion of their own faces? Also see Jeremiah 44:17 about the Queen of Heaven, and 1 Kings 11:5. So in that ecumenical prayer to their Mary goddess, Hail, Holy Queen, Mother of Mercy, our life, our sweetness, our hope, to thee do we cry, poor banished children of Eve, E-V-E. To thee do we stand up our sighs, mourning and weeping in this valley of tears. Turn then, so speaking to the goddess, turn then, most gracious advocate, thine eyes of mercy toward us. So turn your eyes toward us. So they're praying. And after this, after we're exiled, show unto us the blessed fruit of the womb, Jesus. O clement, O loving, O sweet Virgin Mary. Pray for us. See, she's in the grave. See, Acts chapter 2. David is in the grave. And if he's not the patriarch, and Abraham, you know, if David is not the patriarch of our, you know, sitting on the right hand of the throne of Yahweh, then I don't know who is. But he's in the grave. David's in the grave. So why would this queen goddess be there in heaven? Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God. Well, Miriam died. She's not the mother of Yah. Pray for us, O Holy Mother of Yah, that we may be made worthy of the promises of the Messiah, it says. Here's another quick prayer, the Mother of Perpetual Help. In that prayer it says, intercede for us, dear Mother, in obtaining pardon for our sins, love for Jesus, final perseverance, and the grace always to call upon thee, Mother of Perpetual Help. Amen. The Amen Ra goddess there. So we ought not to be in ecumenical spiritual unity, religious unity, with those who proclaim to know Messiah, claim to have him in their heart, and that you know that he's first place. And then on the other hand, they're worshiping these goddesses. Let our conduct be according to Yahweh's word, to the scriptures, and never fall into any sort of compromise. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. One more thought before I move to that Jeremiah 5 that I searched today on this Sabbath and coming new moon for a scripture about children ruling over the people. And I think it's in Isaiah 3 and 6. We'll maybe do that near the end of this podcast. But the reverse roles of the family, the children usurping authority over mom and dad. Oh, that's a scary thing. Too scary, isn't it? Chapter 5, Jeremiah, as we are reading. Run to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and see and know and seek. Seek in the broad places thereof, if you can find a man, if there be any that execute judgment, that seeks the truth, and I will pardon it. So then we read that. And verse 7, how shall I pardon thee for this? The children have forsaken me and sworn by them that are no gods. When I had fed them to the full, then they committed adultery. Or maybe the word here should be they committed fornication, because we can commit spiritual fornication by associating too closely in a religious way with people of a myriad mixture of faiths, of all kinds of syncretism. Don't worry about that word. When I had fed them to the full, they committed adultery and assembled themselves by troops in the harlots' houses. They were as fed horses in the morning, everyone neighed after his neighbor's wife. See also Jeremiah 2:24 about that, neighing there. Verse 12, they had belied Yahweh and said, it is not he, neither shall evil come upon us, neither shall we see sword nor famine. And the prophet shall become wind, and the word is not in them. Thus shall it be done unto them. Wherefore, thus saith Yahweh, Yahweh of hosts, because you speak this word, behold, I will make my words in thy mouth fire, and this people wood, and it shall devour them. You know, this has happened. This is prophecy fulfilled, but it's also prophecy waiting to be fulfilled. It's future prophecy. Verse 23. But this people has a revolting and rebellious heart. They are revolting and gone. Neither say in their heart, let us now fear Yahweh, our mighty one, the mighty one that gives rain, both the former and the latter, in his season. He reserved unto us the appointed weeks of the harvest. We're not supposed to say these things. Well, of course we should say them, but we say them from a wrong motive. Verse 25, your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you. For among my people are found wicked men. They lay wait as he that sets snares. They set a trap. They catch men. A cage full of birds. So are their houses full of deceit. Therefore they are become great and waxed rich. They are waxen fat. They shine. Yea, they overpass the deeds of the wicked. They judge not the cause. The cause of the fatherless. Yet they prosper. And the right of the needy do they not judge. So these are the right of the needy that we're supposed to be taking care of the needy, especially in the assembly, or of widows in the assembly, and we are neglecting our responsibility. Shall I not visit for these things, saith Yahweh? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? A wonderful and terrible thing, or it says, a wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their own means. The word own there should be inserted to make it make sense. Otherwise it would say the priests bear rule by their means. Well, that also makes sense, but by their own means makes it more clear. And my people love to have it so, and what will you do in the end thereof? That's from Jeremiah, the fifth chapter. And noting particularly verse 31, the prophets prophesy falsely. There are a lot of prophesying is going on lately. Well, not only back in 1844 by their prophetess Ellen G. White in the Adventist religion, but even in modern times here in 2014, many of the Messianic churches now getting into the signs and wonders movement that we left 40 years ago, and that some left thousands of years ago, that signs and wonders can be a great thing, but when you get hung up on that, and centered on that instead of on Yahweh's word, on the idea of obedience. In fact, a lot of the prophesying about a great prosperity coming to us is just a bunch of baloney, a bunch of bull. Jeremiah chapter 6:13. For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. And from the prophet, even unto the priest, everyone deals falsely. You can probably see that two chapters later, the exact verbiage or the exact words in chapter 8, verse 10. Let's do that real quickly. Well, I might be reading that later, but therefore will I give thee, I will give their wives unto others, their fields to them, that they shall inherit them. For everyone from the least, even unto the greatest, is given to covetousness. From the prophet even unto the priest, everyone deals falsely. For they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly. So they have healed people in these churches and on Christian television, but only slightly, saying, shalom, shalom, when there is no shalom. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. So I've mentioned this to a dear Messianic friend of mine, and she just laughed every time I talked about that they were not following Yahweh's word. Then she just chuckled about it. Oh, aren't they cute? Aren't my children cute for falsely usurping the authority of the parents and trying to put them down, insulting them, and making up a pack of lies. Oh, aren't they cute? Oh, I just love them so much. Therefore shall they fall among them that fall, and the time of their visitation they shall be cast down, saith Yahweh. I'll surely consume them, saith Yahweh. There shall be no grapes on the vine, nor figs on the fig tree, and the leaf shall fail, and the things that I have given them shall pass away from them. Verse 15, that's 8:15. We looked for peace, but no good came, and for a time of health, and behold, only trouble came. So I was bringing out a repetition there of Jeremiah 6. It's also found in Jeremiah 8. 6:15 says, were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush, neither shall they fall among them that fall. At that time that I will visit them, they shall be cast down, saith Yahweh. Thus saith Yahweh. Now here's where it's different in chapter 6. It's different from chapter 8 here. Thus saith Yahweh, stand you in the ways and see, ask for the old paths. Where do you hear that in the assembly? You know, we have higher ground with Bill Houston, Brother Bill there. A picture of him here on my console holding the scriptures with a nice light powder blue suit on and a good smile on his body there, and a little bit of bald. But he used to preach about the good old paths. Yes. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. Oh, that's just like Yahweh said, to take my yoke upon me and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart. And, you know, you shall find rest. Where is the rest? Hebrews 4, the rest. The seventh-day Sabbath is the rest. And the other feasts are the rests of Yahweh. The new moons are wonderful rest times. And then back to the scripture, you shall find rest for your souls. Don't you want rest? But they said, we will not walk therein. No, we want 24/7. We want intensity. We want to turn on Christian television and have something intense, or secular media, and have it, you know, get us all fired up and everything, to work for the CEO there, and to impress the CEO at work. Well, that's wonderful that you're so productive if you were that way, but how about Yahweh's way? How about Yahweh's commandments, his love, his rest? How about his relationship? What kind of a relationship is that if we're not hearkening to him? Verse 17, also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. I'm hearing that. I'm hearing that in 1991 AD. I'm hearing that in 2014 AD. But they said, we will not hearken. Therefore hear, O you nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my Torah, but rejected it. Verse 22, thus saith Yahweh, behold, a people comes from the north country. Yes, that's where the trouble usually comes from. Not all of you, you know, those in the Ukraine, there's a lot of good believers. But there's also a lot of fierce Russians that are going to come down. There's going to be a great battle. Praise Yahweh that Yahweh has, through his Messiah, through his Son, has won the war. But, you know, we lose some battles, don't we? We've lost a lot of them. Don't tell me that we haven't. Things aren't perfect here. If this is perfect, then I don't want to... I think we'll have to change the definition. Thus saith Yahweh, behold, a people come from the north country, and a great nation shall be raised from the sides of the earth. They shall lay hold on bow and spear. They are cruel and have no mercy. Their voice roars like the sea. They ride upon horses, set in array as men of war against thee, O daughter of Zion. Of course, some of this could be symbolic here. The horses might be some sort of war machines. But I'm not going to make a big, a big thing of that. We've heard the fame thereof, our hands wax feeble. Anguish has taken hold of us, and pain as of a woman in travail. Go not forth into the field, nor walk by the way, for the sword of the enemy and fear is on every side. O daughter of my people, gird thee with sackcloth, and wallow thyself in ashes. Make thee mourning as for an only son. Most bitter lamentation, for the spoiler shall suddenly come upon us. I have set you for a tower and a fortress among my people, that thou mayest know and try thy way. They are all grievous revolters, walking with slanders. I was slandered by this messianic woman's children. And there was no apologies, no correction, no one being held accountable for this. And these are abominations. To disrespect elders, to disrespect the pastor. They are all grievous revolters, walking with slanders. They are brass and iron, they are all corruptors. The bellows are burned, the lead is consumed to the fire, the founder melts in vain, for the wicked are not plucked away. Reprobate silver shall men call them. They'll call them bastard silver, because Yahweh has rejected them. Yes, I think we're all reprobates at one time or another. Even if you've never got into a lot of drunkenness and drugs and violence and whatnot, you didn't get into the booze and pot, but you have still fallen short of the esteem of Yahweh, of the splendor of Yahweh, because you are human. We have the sinful nature, and you certainly have committed at least one sin. You know how many sins it took to put Messiah up there on the tree at Calvary 2,000 years ago? To put Messiah on the tree, it only took your sin, your first sin, see, for you to be forgiven, for provided mercy by the Messiah, by his shed blood and his dying on the tree at Calvary, and by the power of his resurrection to be able to make it into New Jerusalem and ultimately to heaven. Praise Yah. You know, to be able to explore all these other worlds out there. Whoa, that's really something I really look forward to. But I'm taking a real quick break. We've finished with Jeremiah chapter 6, and we're going on in the scriptures here to chapter 7 in a moment. This is a sober time in sobering up before Yahweh. Facing reality. We could get into a big scholastic study about, you know, when and where and who, what, why, and all that, but let's just see where we are right now. Where is our hearts? What does it look like to follow Yahweh? Jeremiah chapter 7. The word that came to Jeremiah from Yahweh, saying, stand in the gate of Yahweh's house, and proclaim there this word, and say, and you don't have to do it in a mean way, you could be very joyful, and say, hear the word of Yahweh, all you of Judah, that enter in at these gates to worship Yahweh. Thus saith Yahweh of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. So here's how to get a blessing here. Also verse 7, we'll look into that. But if you amend your ways, I don't really think that you're doing that. Trust you not in lying words, saying, this is the church, this is the church of God. So it says, trust not in lying words, saying, the temple of Yahweh, the temple of Yahweh, the temple of Yahweh are these. Or no, or that we are the watchtower, what do they call that, the Jehovah's Witness building. Or we are this building, or we are that building. We are the Christian fellowship, and so on. Yeah, we are, we are the Catholic Church, and so on. Yes, we're trusting in lying words. This is not Yahweh's house. If we are mixing all different sorts of New Age beliefs and bringing in crazy rock and roll music, backseat sex, Christian backseat sex music, all that, and psychology like I say, the New Age, and disobeying Yahweh's commandments. That's not Yahweh's house. No, the Yahweh's house is pure. It's set apart. It's Kodesh. It's dedicated, yes, prayed and dedicated to Yahweh. He's bringing in, he's bringing in his people too, but he's bringing in the beauty of Yahweh, as we come into His presence. But we are brought into His presence. And some of the songs that we sing in these assemblies, they sing about me, my, myself, and I. Me, 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 me. You know, how many times is the focus on Yahweh? How many times are we concentrating on Yahweh? But no, most of these feel-good songs, and even in Messianic worship, count up the number of personal pronouns regarding you, 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 and you know, there will probably be a dozen of them in one song, whereas Yahweh, he doesn't quite win there. He gets 10 references to his name, 10 pronouns or actual names or terms regarding him, but and his traits or something. But you know, the humans win out on that. You know, the focus is on how wonderful we are. And I've even heard a preacher say that the other day. It was this is a Sunday keeping man who said that he loves us because we are so good. Oh, that's real pride. That's vanity. Well, you know that. So verse 5 now, 7 verse 5 of Yeremiah. For if you thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if you thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if you oppress not the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and shall not innocent blood in the place, neither walk after other Elohim to your hurt, then I will cause you to dwell, I will cause you to tabernacle in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. But behold, you trust in lying words that cannot profit. You're following Ellen G. White, you're following, what's the Jehovah's Witness, all these, you know, different leaders, Kenneth Copeland or somebody like that. Will you steal, murder, and commit adultery? Michael Rood. Adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other Elohim whom you have not. Actually, that word adultery there is probably fornication. That's a premarital perversion of Yahweh's gift to the married mom and dad there. That's supposed to be a very special time of the husbandman as he and the bride in the bridal chamber there come together, consummating that marital contract, just as Yahweh, the Father, will come together with his bride, the assembly. So, will you steal, murder, and commit fornication, and swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, walk after Elohim whom you have not, and come and stand before me in this house which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations? Well, yes, they are saying these things. As for an example, here's a gentleman here who thinks that, and his name is Bert. He was one of the Christian fellowship leaders in redirecting our focus. The law is dung. But looking up Philippians 3, 7, and 8, chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, I don't think that Yahweh's law, that Paul was saying that the law was dung, and false statements that were made, Yahweh, the hidden aspects, were more important than his word. In this taping, I don't want to play that for you. It's too disgusting anyway. And Paul said the law is dung. No, I count all those things I lost as dung. All the things Paul lost as dung. Not the word, not the law, not the Torah. Certainly not. There's the word in Psalm 19, 119, Romans chapter 6, 7, and 8. The law is not dung there. 1 John 5, 2, and John 10, 37. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But the statement was made by this Pastor Bert that God is not a God of commandments, but of love. Okay, 1 John 5, 2 says, and this is love, that we love Yahweh and keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome, or they're not grievous. This is the whole of man, Ecclesiastes, the last chapter. Keep Yahweh's commandments, this is the whole of man, to keep his word. And then another false statement was made. The Father wants us to obey Him, not His law. What a contradiction, that crazy of, you know, a large Christian fellowship, hundreds and hundreds of maybe 1,000 people in there, and they're under this ministry that we were just talking about here in Jeremiah, that you trust in lying words, and you say, this is the temple of Yahweh, the temple of Yahweh. And you come and stand before me in this house which is called by my name and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations. We're delivered to disobey Him. He doesn't want us to obey Him, not His law. He wants us to obey Him, but not Him, and not His word. Well, if we're not to obey His word, then what in the world are we to obey? I'm frustrated. I can't find the answer to that question. And, of course, there is no answer to it, no good answer anyway. So I'll get away from that. Pastor Bert, we'll just put you away here and, dong, yeah, we'll put that down there for now. Another leader there, Bob, said that, the relationship is important, but the word is not. The commandments are not important. It's not a standard, but just Jesus. We're set free from the word. We're set free from the law. Set free to the mediator, Jesus Christ, to practice the righteousness in Jesus Christ. Well, I'm not going to use that terminology there from the Greek Iesus, the Greek goddess of healing. I use Yahusha, Messiah, for the word for Messiah is Yahusha. But we're set free to not be in bondage. We're set free in liberty to practice and to love Yahweh and to follow His law and especially to keep His feast days, which is, part of the exercise is the rehearsal. We're doing this dress rehearsal, getting ready. We're doing the honey-do list that Yahweh has given us to keep His word and, keep His covenant. Keep that covenant. Praise Yah. Another false statement is Christianity is not truths, but whoever knows what the truth is without the word? So Christianity, of course, taking from Christos, Christianity there, so we don't use that term either. We use a word like a true believer. And that you are not called to live, here's a false statement, you're not called to live according to the law, to the scriptures, in other words, but to the person of Jesus Christ. Oh yeah, to the person of the Messiah he's referring to there. So it goes on and on. We're obligated to obey the whole law or not at all. Galatians 5:1, another false concept that if we can't keep one of the laws, then don't keep any of them. Toss out the baby with the bathwater. And point number 5 that was made by this Pastor Bob on Time Out is the Messiah didn't call us to the law, but He called it from the law. This is a form of godliness, but not of the power. We must have a relationship, but we must not have His word. We must not have His command. Let's keep reading then in Jeremiah and see if those things weigh out here or not, if they are fairly weighed up on the scales of Yahweh's scales. Okay, verse 14, 7:14, Jeremiah. Therefore, will I do unto this house, which is called by my name, wherein you trust, and unto the place where I gave to you, and to your fathers, as I have done to Shiloh. And I will cast you out of my sight, as I have cast out all your brethren, even the whole seed of Ephraim. Therefore, don't pray for this people, neither lift up cry nor prayer for them, neither make intercession to me, for I will not hear thee. See also 11:14 of Jeremiah. So this is 7:16. I gave you also 11:14. 7:16, pray not for this people. How about that? Here's a place where we're told not to pray for a people. they're going to do their own thing anyway, I guess. But I still do. I know you do too. You pray harder for them than I do. But I do have compassion for them, and I have a heart for the people who don't follow Yahweh's law, who are still believing that they're saved. I don't know. Maybe they are. I don't know that they're not. Whether they're keeping the first day of the week or they're keeping the W day, the fourth day of the week. I don't know. That doesn't necessarily mean that they're not saved. They're eating the pork, the abomination there. So I'm not the judge. I can't stand there at the gates with with Messiah, they say, St. Peter. I can't stand at the gate with anybody and say, now you get out. You can't come up here. Although we are going to be a judge. We'll judge different matters, as we should now. Pray not for this people. 17. Seest thou not what they do in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? Yeah, even to this day, I'm sure there's a lot of bad stuff. And the children gather wood, and the fathers kindle the fire, and the women knead their dough to make cakes to the Queen of Heaven. Pour out drink offerings. Do they provoke me to anger, saith Yahweh? Do they not provoke themselves to the confusion of their own faces? And then his anger is being poured out. Put your burnt offerings under your sacrifices. Eat flesh. Now, here's the added law that he refers to. You could also find this in Galatians 3:19, the added law. Galatians 3:19. Ezekiel 20:25 and Hosea 6:6. Here in Jeremiah 7. But this thing I commanded. Oh, wait a minute. I skip. For I spake not unto your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices. So that's the added law, the burnt offerings or sacrifices. But this thing I commanded them. So what did he command? The commandments, statutes, and judgments that we read there in the Torah. This thing I commanded them, saying, obey my voice. How can you obey his voice if it's not clear what his voice is? Oh, I listen to the Spirit? Well, this Spirit, that Spirit, there's only one Spirit, it says in Ephesians. Obey my voice, and I will be your mighty one, and you shall be my people. Walk in all the ways that I commanded you, that it may be well with you. But they hearken not. Well, that's true. That's certainly true. Nor incline their ear, but they walked in the counsels and the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. Since the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt unto this day, I have sent unto them with prophets and servants daily, rising up early and sending him, yet they hearken not unto me, nor incline their ear, but harden their neck, and did worse than their fathers. Therefore thou shalt speak all these words unto them, but they will not hearken. Thou shalt also call unto them, but they will not answer thee. Oh, isn't that the truth? You see the low hit count on my website. Verse 28, but thou shalt say unto them, this is a nation that obeys not the voice of Yahweh, their mighty one, nor receives correction. Truth is perished and is cut off from their mouth. Cut off thine hair. So if you were a Nazarite, you would have that long hair, having taken a vow. It says, cut off thine hair, O Jerusalem, and cast it away. It says, it doesn't mean anything if you've got the long hair, a Nazarite vow, or whatever that you're doing this special thing, you think. But cast it away. Take up a lamentation on high places, for Yahweh has rejected and forsaken the generation of his wrath. For the children of Yehuda have done evil in my sight, saith Yahweh. They have set their abominations in the house, which is called by my name, to pollute it. Yeah, I wouldn't doubt that they would even have voted for this American president in the year 2014 that, homosexuality and aborting children, killing and murdering children that's okay. Oh, you don't have compassion, Brother Eber. Well, so what about that's life? Conception begins, life begins at conception, or at least when the heart beats, and then that brain in that woman in the womb, the brain starts, oh, that's where the trouble is. Oh, no. Okay, I don't want to get into trouble there. And that's not true. I appreciate the thinking power that my sisters in Yahweh have. Thank you very much. And you're all very supportive, to some degree anyway. I don't really hear from anybody that much. And they have built the high places of Tophet, which is the valley of the son of Hinnom, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire. So there it is. Abomination, abortion. And we vote for these politicians in the United States. You folks who are not here in this nation, this abominable nation, you may or may not realize that there's a lot of abortion going on. There's just thousands dead each day. They're in the hospitals, they're being killed. These children who are not yet birthed from the womb, They're burned by saline solution. So that could be one place that this scripture, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire, which I commanded them not, neither came it into my heart. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith Yahweh, it shall no more be called Tophet. And you could look up the meaning of that. That might have a very deep, profound meaning, but I'm not going to. Nor the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter it shall be called, for they shall bury in Tophet till there be no place. The carcasses of this people shall be meat for the fowls of the heaven, for the beasts of the earth, and none shall fray them away. None will scare them away. Then will I cause to cease from the cities of Yehuda, and from the streets of Jerusalem, the voice of mirth, and the voice of gladness, and the voice of the bridegroom, and the voice of the bride, for the land shall be desolate. What a stinking, terrible, sad thing that is. But let us be strengthened by Yahweh, strengthened by His Spirit. You know, we have a lot of trials going on, and people are getting into pharmaceuticals and drugs and pot and booze and all that, and becoming workaholics. You know, there's so many problems around that I couldn't elucidate on all of those. A lot of accidents. The accidents happen, a boulder rolls down into your car and destroys it, and then you become partially crippled. Well, Yahweh didn't do it. He didn't do it. He didn't stop it, but He didn't do it. It was just an act of nature of the earth there. You were in the wrong place at the wrong time, I suppose, if that happened to you. But going to other scriptures, Ephesians 3, let us be strengthened by the Spirit of Yahweh. So just past Galatians, Ephesians 3:16, another 3:16 in the scripture. And he's bowing his knees to the Father of Yahushua Messiah, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his splendor, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit to the inner man. How are we going to be strengthened? By His Spirit, with might, in our spirits, in our inner man, so-called there. That Messiah may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to rooted and grounded. That's very important. Are you rooted? I don't think I'm sufficiently rooted. Rooted. May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Messiah, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of Yahweh. Let's be filled with His Spirit. And unto Him, He is able to strengthen you. Yes, to do abundantly above all that we should think or ask, according to the power that works in us. What power that works in us? Verse 16. We'll be strengthened with might by the Spirit in the inner man. Praise Yah. 2 Timothy 4:18, so keep turning to the right. Unless you're in a Hebrew scriptures, then it would be to the left, huh? Yeah, I know. It's supposedly Greek. I don't believe that. 2 Timothy 4:18. Oh, wait a minute. We got to read the one before that. Notwithstanding, Yahweh stood with me and strengthened me so He strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, Paul said there. Also see Philippians 4:1. And Yahweh shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto His heavenly kingdom, to whom be splendor for ever and ever. Hallel Yahweh. Once again, that was 2 Timothy 4:18. Oh, yes, let's read the scriptures cover to cover, and especially dwell on how it affects our behavior and how the Word makes applications to our life, to our lifestyle, to our culture. And have this book in our hands, the scriptures, the basic instructions before leaving earth. Yeah, well, forget about the trials. Let's forget about the money. Let's forget about tomorrow, for tomorrow may never come. We need to be pleasing Yahweh and tabernacling with Him like pilgrims. Let's turn to Hebrews there. It talks about pilgrims here. And as you noticed, I've switched gears from Jeremiah. There we switched into happy gear. We were in that very fearful and awesome presence of Yahweh back there in Jeremiah. But now Hebrews, excuse me a second, chapter 11 talks about the pilgrims. On this Yahweh Yahweh website here, YahwehYahweh.name. Verse 11:13, Abram talks about the great cloud of witnesses that are mentioned here in Scripture. That's the cloud of witnesses. They're not up there in heaven looking down from some sort of a balcony at us. But these all died in faith, not having received the promises. So none of them went straight to heaven when they died, did they? They all died in faith. And it, you know, who does it mention here? It mentions, I think even Abel was mentioned there. Oh, Abraham is also mentioned. They died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Pilgrims need to sojourn to these feast days and keep Yahweh's feasts. Hallelujah. Yes, the first fruits in the summertime, and in the end of the summertime, we keep the three feasts there, Feast of Trumpets, Atonement, and Sukkot, and that last great day. So that's four feasts there for you, as long along with the new moons and Sabbaths. A lot of feast days there. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country, and truly if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out of, they might have had opportunity to have returned, but now they desire a better country. That is, an heavenly one. Wherefore, Yahweh is not ashamed to be called their mighty one, for he has prepared for them a city. A city, yes, New Jerusalem. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and so on. And before we turn, though, stay there in Hebrews for just a second here. Hebrews 11:6, talking about faith and pleasing Yahweh. Chuck Swindoll on Christian Radio said, we can't please Yahweh. Here it says that we can. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. So what is faith? Faith is the word. For without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to Yahweh must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Diligently do it. Verse 9, by faith, Abraham journeyed in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in Sukkots with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is Yahweh. In Isaiah 3, and also, I'll get to that also in a moment here. So, Isaiah 3, 1, for behold, Yahweh, Yahweh of hosts, doth take away from Jerusalem and from Yehuda the stay and the staff, and the whole stay of bread, and the whole stay of water, the mighty man, a man of war, the judge, the prophet, the prudent, and the ancient, the captain of 50, the honorable man, the counselor, the cunning artificer, and the eloquent orator, the eloquent Christian radio announcer. And I will give children to their princes. I will give children to be their princes, and babe shall rule over them. Babe shall rule over us. And the people shall be oppressed, every one by another, every one by his neighbor. The child shall behave himself humbly. No, the child shall behave herself proudly against the ancient, against the old ones, the ones who were here before the ones. No, and the base against the honorable. So the base person will behave dishonorably, and dishonor one another. Dishonor those that should be respected, those in authority, those who have, you know, worked all their lives, and as parents, mom and dads, have failed in some areas, but have, for the better part, have provided you know, a good home, secure, warm place for their children, with a good example, making a good example for the children there. Wow. But then the child grows up when she's in her 30s, and says, you brought me up wrong. You did it all wrong. You were not perfect. and I dishonor you. Go ahead, write me out of your will. It doesn't matter to me what you do. Oh, woe unto them, woe unto them that disrespect their elders. Isaiah 5:11, woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, or in these days they may take a few puffs on that marijuana cigarette, like some of our legislators are trying to push through. They want to be able to legislate behind the bench, taking a few tokes off that number, off that marijuana joint. They continue until night, till wine inflame them. Verse 20, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light, light for darkness, and put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. So here's a matter of heart again in Isaiah 5:21. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, of men of strength to mingle strong drink. Yes, Yahweh hates that. He says in chapter 6, verse 5, woe is me, for I am undone. Isaiah says, because I am a man of unclean lips, I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. So that, I guess, maybe that's saying that, I think that's saying that makes him unclean. For mine eyes have seen the King, Yahweh of hosts. Verse 7, he laid it upon my mouth, the coal that is, lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Praise Yahweh, just like when Yahweh sent down his son, Yahusha, to die for us, to die for our sins. He died in that tree at Calvary 2,000 years ago. And are we grateful, or do we throw it back in his face, throw Messiah in the ditch? So here's another scripture about... Here is a scripture about the children having authority over their parents. Isaiah 3:12, also found in Judges 4:4, and also a couple of chapters later here in Isaiah. Isaiah 3:12, as for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths. Yahweh stands up to plead and stands to judge the people. So here's the Messiah standing up to plead and to judge the people. Yahweh will enter into judgment with the ancients of his people and the princes thereof. And you have eaten up the vineyard. The spoil of the poor is in your houses. What do you mean that you beat my people to pieces and grind the faces of the poor, saith Yahweh of hosts? Moreover, Yahweh saith, because the daughters of Zion are haughty, and walk with stretched forth necks and wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they go, making a tinkling with their feet. Yahweh, the mighty one, will smite with a scab the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion, and then Yahweh will discover their secret parts. It talks about their bonnets and their cauls and their headbands and so on, the ornaments of their legs. There, as you keep reading on. But I wanted to... Whoops, as we read, banging the equipment around here, read about praising Yahweh, and this is from GiveShare.org, Exodus 14, from GiveShare.org, praising Yahweh, study number 42, from Giving and Sharing. The most stupendous public miracle on the side of heathens has just occurred. Pharaoh's horsemen in chariots had been drowned in the sea, while Israel had previously passed through the Red Sea on dry ground in safety. Exodus 14, or Shemot 14. Israel was free once and for all again from Egyptian bondage. Did Moses and Israel offer a sacrifice or a prayer? Moses led the children of Israel in a great song of praise to the Eternal. Miriam led the women in a beautiful, joyous chorus. In Exodus 15, first 21 verses, Exodus 15 is a great praise song. Maybe some of you talented, gifted young musicians could strum us a great song there. And Moses and Miriam in Exodus 15, verse 2, Yahweh is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. He is my sovereign, and I will prepare him an habitation. My father is Yahweh, and I will exalt him. Yahweh is our strength and our song, our salvation. Psalm 118, 14 and 15. He is the source of our strength, our salvation, our praise in song to him. And our songs of praise, we are acting out. We're experiencing his strength, his salvation. Truly, the eternal is my strength and my song. He has also become my salvation. Isaiah 12:2. I will sing unto my strength, the sovereign one of my mercy. Psalm 59. Yahweh is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Of course, we'll fear him. Yahweh is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Psalm 27. No, we are not afraid of Yahweh, but we fear him. An awesome respect. Awesome respect. More than you have. Psalm 27. Because he is my strength and shield, I greatly rejoice, and with my song will I praise him. 28 verse 7. I will offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will even sing praises unto Yahweh. 27 verse 6. So going back one chapter. Because that Yahweh is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. Back to Psalm 18. I will joy in the sovereign one of my salvation. Habakkuk 3:18 is another verse to consult there. In Habakkuk. Now, first I'd like to go to Nahum, the book before our selected chapter. Nahum, in verse 1:15. Behold upon the mountains the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that publisheth shalom. O Yehuda, keep thy solemn feasts, perform thy vows, for the wicked shall no more pass through thee. He is utterly cut off. Yes, we need to keep Pesach or Passover. We need to keep all the feasts of Yahweh and be strengthened by him as we obey and live out his word in our lives. So now we're going to Habakkuk. And there's three great chapters here. We could cover each one of them at some other time. And the actual address of this is 318, okay, or thereabouts. Devouring the poor secretly. There's a lot we're missing here, but yet I will rejoice in Yahweh. I will joy in the sovereign of my salvation. Yahweh, the mighty one, is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me, because those are the stronger feet, and he will make me to walk upon my high places. As he said in Isaiah, I think 56, regarding the Sabbath, that if we kept the Sabbath, he'd enable us to walk upon the high places of the earth. Not being like Israel was, who sang his praise and soon forgot his works. Psalm 106. All right, Psalm 106, 12. They believed they his words. They sang his praise. They soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel. 16. They envied Moses also in the camp and Aaron, the saint of Yahweh. 31. They stood up Phinehas and executed judgment, and so the plague was stayed, and that was counted unto him for righteousness. And so the plague was stayed, and it's counted unto him for righteousness unto all generations forevermore. But the problems continue here. Verse 34, they did not destroy the nations concerning whom Yahweh commanded them to destroy, but were mingled among the heathen and learned their works. We got a lot of mingling, in the Adventist church, I heard a lot of mingling going on in there of doctrines of Easter, talking about Easter Sunday, and of course they kept Christmas. Well, there was three gods in heaven. But 35, they were mingled among the heathen, and they learned their works, and they served their idols, which were a snare unto them. They sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils. They shed innocent blood. Well, we could go on about the problems that are about us. There's enough to pray for already. And our prayers are going to be answered. Yes, and Yahweh's time, 1,000 years to us, is only a day to Yahweh. That's how it should work. Psalm 107, I think I heard somebody say that backwards. Psalm 107, O give thanks unto Yahweh, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of Yahweh say so. Let the redeemed of Yahweh say so. Whom, that's the Joseph Lynn singer sang that song. Let the redeemed of Yahweh say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gather them out of the lands from the east, from the west, and from the north, and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Does that sound like us today? Well, maybe for some of you out there in the bush country, but for most of us, oh, we're warm and well-fed. Things seem to continue on about the same from day to day. The weather people complain about if it's not sunny. Verse 11, they rebelled against the words of Yahweh and contemned the counsel of the Most High. 17, fools, because of their transgressions and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhors all manner of meat. They draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto Yahweh in their trouble, and he saves them out of their distresses. Yes, he even brought them to their safe harbor. He sent his word and healed them and delivered, and I was quoting from a different psalm there about the harbor. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise Yahweh for his goodness and for his wonderful works, for his miracles, you know, to the children of men. And that they that go down to the sea in ships that do business in great waters, these see the works of Yahweh and his wonders in the deep. I haven't watched any of those films about the, taking a camera down into the deep and looking at all those fish down there and sea life. That'd be wonderful. All of his creations. Praise Yah. It's good to get around and have a variety to enjoy. Yes, 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 yes. Yes, even in each other we can see such a variety and such a pleasure to enjoy one another's company. Now, not too much pleasure. Don't put man or woman above Yahweh. Sometimes our heart might want to do that. We're so lonely, and then along comes this beautiful person into our life, and we do anything for him. That might not be right. It might be a sin. He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the depths, their soul is melted because of the trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man, and are at their wits' end. And then they cry unto Yahweh in their trouble, and he brings them out of their distresses. He makes the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then they are glad, because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise Yahweh for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people, and praise him in the assembly of the elders. Well, you could go on. The next psalm is great. Waking early there. If you're waking early, read Psalm 108. Praise Yahweh. Yes. He is our Redeemer, our Deliverer. We confess our sins to Yahweh of our negligence, not doing his word. And we confess that our fellow brethren have been lukewarm and not had a fervent heart, a fervent spirit to serve Yahweh. But let's continue to meet again here, and let's continue to read the Word. And if you have any time left over, want to hear any encouragement, and you can't read, and you'd like to listen, then tune into the website, yahweh.name. I'm Stephen Yah. May you have a beautiful forever. Maranatha, Yahweh is coming quickly. So let's be ready, in season, in out. Be instant to follow Yahweh. Not necessarily to follow man and his rules, but to follow the lawgiver himself, Yahweh, Yahusha, the Messiah, Yahusha, the Mighty One, the Messiah, the Mighty One of Israel. Lift up his name. Oh, we thank you, Yahweh, for all your blessings through thy Son, Yahusha HaMashiach. Hallelujah. Praise Yahweh.